hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, yeah. It's a pleasure to welcome Sister Nley back from a long
trip. Put your hands together, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing her safely back. It's a long trip all over the place, and finally back with her daughter. We give you, Lord, all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everybody. How are you doing this morning? Praise the Lord. Well, you know, I'm going to preach the message nonetheless. A little flustered this morning with all the electrical or electronic or, you know, sound problems. But don't worry about it. The Lord is good. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We know, as always, the entrance of your word brings light. Now let that light shine in our hearts this morning, giving us understanding as we stand in the message of the Lord to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. So let me speak to you from the heart this morning about some things. You know, I've been thinking for some time that, you know, we want to minister to the whole person, you know, and we want to be, you know, and you know, if you've attended the services for any length of time, you know, we preach on all kinds of topics, messages, all like that. But today, I'm going to give a little preamble, and then we have some scriptures that we want to look at. The first scripture, I'm going to quote it, it says, this is a faithful saying. It's a faithful saying, you know. And it says that, look, this is something I want you to constantly affirm to the intent that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. And it says that this is a good thing, profitable for all men. Can you put that up? Titus 3 and verse 8. I want people to follow me quickly. I do have some scriptures and there's some stories I'm going to tell us from the Bible. And I will tell you the topic today in a minute. While I want you to pay your attention to the screen, and let's look at it again. It is a faithful saying. And this means, I will that thou affirm constantly. I should tell us to do it constantly. So I thought, well, let me do it today. That they which have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. And somebody say amen. Now, good works cannot save us. We know that. The only way we can be saved is through the redemptive work that our Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross and through his blood. And by trusting our lives into his hands, trusting the Holy Spirit to walk the work of redemption in our lives and living and walking in the light. That's the only way we can be saved. However, there is an abundance of scriptures in the Bible concerning good works. And I want to talk about that this morning. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, because it is good. And it is profitable unto heaven. In fact, in the book of Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12, the Bible says that, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. To give to every man, according to what? Please help me out. According to what? Not according to how his faith, but according to how his word shall be. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be talking about the works this morning and some of the rewards that come with that. And even in the book of Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, he says, you know, blessed are they that die in the Lord, you know, from this time henceforth. See, he said the Spirit, that they may rest from their works, I mean their labors, and their works do follow them. I'll be talking about that this morning in this teaching. How do their works follow them even after they're dead. You know, so I'm going to be talking about that. You know, so you pay attention, it's going to bless your heart. Praise the Lord. Now, we want people, we don't want, you know, well, first of all, we want everyone, by the grace of God, myself being number one, to be in the rapture. Amen?
Amen.
But when you get there, we want you to have some rewards. Amen. Now, but I'm not going to be talking just about rewards in the kingdom of God. I'm talking about that, will be. But I'm going to talk about rewards here. I'm going to talk about rewards later on. It's different things. So you pay attention to this message. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So we lay the foundation here to see that there's rewards for works. Rewards for works. And the Bible teaches, and there's rewards for everything, actually. You know, there's reward for evil and there's reward for good. How many of you know that's true? Now, but because evil is not immediately recompensed by the Lord, but sometimes God has used his long suffering and let people be, you know, it emboldens the power of people continually. And also, because good works may not be immediately rewarded, sometimes people get discouraged from doing those good works. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
So I'm talking on two sides of the spectrum, but today I want to concentrate more on the good side. But I just want to draw the parallel. When people do evil, there's no immediate to the judgment for that. Their hearts are emboldened to do more evil. When people do good, and there's no immediate reward, sometimes they get discouraged from doing good. Are you getting the difference?
Yes, sir.
Now, in the book of Galatians chapter 6, I'm going to talk about some scriptures, you know, that the Bible talks about here. Let's start at Galatians chapter 6. If you want to put up verse 7 for me, I'm going to read two verses. Help me quickly. Galatians 6 to 7. Do not deceive. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. So that's how, you know, if you sow to the wind, you might read a worldly, you know. If you sow to the flesh, you read corruption. If you sow to the spirit, you read everlasting life. So let's read verses 8 and 9. 8 quickly, that's what I just said. Now let's read verse 9. Verse 9 is the one I'm going to say. And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season, we shall go up. We shall reap if we faint not. What people do, they're weary. Myself included. I mean, you do stuff, and you don't seem to get rewarded, you don't get weary. But hold on. Don't be weary. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Don't be weary. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So I want to pray that the Lord will give us an understanding heart this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, let the message of the Lord, that was just an introduction, let the message of the Lord, you know, be explained in our hearts this morning. Let us find good in it, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, I'm going to start here in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. Ecclesiastes 11, verses 1 and 2. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Now, what does that really mean? Well, in the light of this message, it means the good that you do is like a boomerang. It's going to go and come back to you again. Amen? That's right. If you cast your bread upon many waters, he said, your bread, you know, in many days you'll find it again. You know, so the good that you do now is going to come back to you. Come back in different ways. And that's what I'm going to be talking about today. So let's take it easy as we go through these scriptures. I will give you some of the scriptures again for you to write it down, you know, as we go through it. Remember, the key thing is we do not want to be weary in well doing. That's Galatians 6 and verse 9. If you don't faint, there's coming some kind of reward, you know, that, you know, the Lord knows how to bring. Now, we're encouraged to do good. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 27 and 28 tells us that. It says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do it. The next verse says, don't say to your neighbor, come again tomorrow, when you already have it by thee. Give it already today. Why do you have to, you know, tell them to go back and forth? You know, give to your neighbor. you know. Withhold not your hand. Withhold not good when it is in the power of your hand to do it, and so on. So these are some of the things I want us to look at this morning and see how the Lord is going to help us to understand some of these things that He's commanding us to do regarding good works. Praise the Lord. Regarding good works. Now, there are some stories I want to read in the Bible and just help us to understand, you know, where we're going with this message. Now, the scripture we read in Galatians 6, I want to go back to that and read verse 10. We read verses 7 through 9, but I want to read verse 10. Listen to this verse 10. This is Galatians 6 and verse 10. And as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. The title of the message is Pay It Forward into God's Book of Remembrance. Now, God doesn't ever forget any good deed or evil deed for that matter, you know. But, you know, you need to lay up treasures for yourself. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to be explaining how you lay up some treasures for yourself through this message today by doing good. You know, by just doing good. You know, sometimes even the scripture said, look, you know, break off your sins by righteousness. You know, do some good and things like that. You know, so when talk about those who have already obtained the faith of God, that they should be careful to maintain good works. Now, this message is for believers today. You know, not that your works are going to save you, but you're already saved, but do good works. Now, so be, you know, as much as you have opportunity, do good to all men, especially those that are of the household of faith. And even in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, from verse 1, we are told that, look, do not neglect, you know, I think verse 2, do not neglect to be entertaining to strangers, because thereby some people have entertained angels unawares. You know, so if you say, well, that's a stranger, I don't care about them, that's a poor person, I don't care about them, and so forth. I mean, you just, you know, really don't care about them. Well, you don't really know what you might be missing. The book of Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 17 gives us a very valuable viewpoint. He that hath pity upon the poor, lendeth to the Lord. And that which you have given to the poor, He will pay him again. Now, there's a way that we can get rewards. Jesus himself talked about it. He said, look, you can give gifts to your friends, because they were going to give you gifts again. Yeah, that's some kind of reward. But Jesus said, look, if you only give to those who can give to you again, well, you're not better than anybody else. Everybody does that. But when you give to those who cannot give back to you, and you keep on doing it without giving up, then there is some kind of reward that I'm going to talk about here today. You know, when you do good. You know, remember Jesus himself, Acts 10 and verse 38. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. That's the first thing. He was doing good. What was the good that he was doing? It wasn't just the healing. No, he was doing good and healing. He didn't say he was doing good, healing all that. No, he was doing good, comma, and healing. So he was doing the healing, but he was also doing some good. Hallelujah. You know, doing good. You know, maybe feed his, you know, feed the people on the, you know, during the crusades and so forth, give them food, do something. There's a lot of things he did which are not even recorded here. They just recorded some things just for us to have enough to go back. Because if all the things he did should have been recorded, there won't be enough books to contain it. So he went about doing good and also healing the people. So the doing good is also separated from the doing the healings. Two different things. Now, healing is also good, but you can also, you don't have to be a healer. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be any of those things to have, you know, the power of deliverance to cast out devils and so forth in order for you to do good. Everybody can do good. Amen. Hello? Everybody can do some good. Now, and as long as it's in your power to do it, do not hold it back. Let's do some good with it. So, that's the, you know, it's like when you're writing a dissertation. You know, you start out by telling people what you are going to tell them. And then, in the main part of the thing, you tell them what you want to tell them. And then at the end, tell them what you just told them. Like a summary. You know, so I told you what I'm going to tell you. Now I'm really going to tell you by going into some examples in the Bible and showing you how that the good that somebody did, how God remembered it and repaid them for it, either through themselves or through their seed or their generation after, or even many generations after. So we're going to go into scriptures and see, so that you can know today that the good that you are doing is never forgotten. Amen. It's being recorded in God's book of remembrance. And he has a way that he's going to. That's why he said they are dead. Even the people that are dead, their walk still following them. How can your walk still be following you when you're already dead? But there is a way that their walk still follow them. It follows on to their seed, follows on to their generation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Even generations after them. You know, we've heard about, you know, we've got about curses that go from generation to generation. Well, this one that I'm talking about is a blessing of God that goes from generation to generation. Amen. Because of somebody that did some good, somebody else may receive some blessing. You know, so don't be weary in doing the good. So let's look at some of the wonderful stories that are in the Bible. You know, anytime we read some of these stories in the Bible, they are for a reason, to bring out a viewpoint. And I'm going to look at some of these things to bring out a viewpoint. But before I go, let me also read one more scripture before I go into these stories. And, you know, a couple of weeks or a few weeks ago when I talked about the little guide to a short success and long life, this was one of the scriptures I brought out then. It's in Proverbs 11 and verses 24 and 25. Proverbs 11 talks about, look, if you are stingy, that may backfire. See? Because some people want to hold on to what they have because they think that, well, you know, I don't have enough to share, so let me just hold on to it. Well, you know. So, but if you, this scripture actually tells us that somebody who is used to giving, that's scattering, putting their bread upon many waters, like we read in Ecclesiastes 11, that actually leads to increase. But if you hold on to it too much, it might lead to poverty. Read it here. There is that scattering. That's like Ecclesiastes 11. Spread his, you know, bread upon many waters. In the morning, show your hand. In the evening, withhold not your hand. You don't know which one's going to prosper, either this or that, or whether they'll be both good alike. You know, you're just helping and doing all the good you can. Bible says it actually leads to increase. But there is somebody that holds on to more than is necessary, and it leads to poverty. So that's wisdom for us here this morning. Now, that should encourage us to do good and not be tight-fisted and so on. Now, I am going to read some stories here in the Bible to illustrate this point. The first story, you know, there are many, many stories, and I don't, you know, read them in any order here. I'm not going to necessarily bring it in all the order in which it is in the Bible, but, you know, let me do the best I can with it within the short time we have here. You know, there is a blessing that God gave through Abraham. That's in Genesis chapter 22. If you want to read with me, Genesis 22 verses 15 to 18. In this story, Abraham had been told to sacrifice his son Isaac. And he went through the motions of actually doing it. And the angel of the Lord called out to him, told him not to do it. So let's take it here. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. And you put on the next verse. And said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because that thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. Now, because of what Abraham did, that in blessing I will bless thee. Amen. And in multiplying, I will multiply thee. Now, this was obedience. You know, but I want to bring out a point here. I'm going to come out to the other part. Come down to the other part of good. You know, I will multiply thy seed. Now, if his seed is being multiplied when he's gone, he's already gone. What is he to gain from? I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, you know, and thy seed. He didn't even say you. Thy seed. Not even Abraham.
thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Amen.
Amen.
Now, next verse, please. And in thy seed, now notice this. Not only because of the thing that Abraham did, not only his seed is being blessed, but now the whole world. From one little deed that somebody did. The whole world now. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now this is how critical it is now. Folks, when the Lord's telling you to do something, and you don't obey his voice, you go put in your heart, as long as it's in your heart, do good to them that you have opportunity to do good. If you don't do it, there may be a great blessing that you are blocking. You know, like Abraham, this one was not that he did good to somebody, but he obeyed the voice of the Lord. It's the same principle. He obeyed the voice of the Lord, and look at all the good that came because of him. The whole nations of the earth now blessed through that lineage that came from Isaac and all down through Jesus, you know, because he obeyed his voice. Hallelujah, somebody. Now, let me bring now some actual examples. I laid the principles, but I want to bring some actual examples now of what we are talking about. This one here, there's a story here about Jonathan, the son of David. How many of you know the story about? You ever heard about Jonathan, this son of David? Please let me see. Jonathan, son of David, thank you. And he was very, very close to David. Did a lot of things for David. Actually saved David's life a few times from Saul, his father, when Saul was trying to kill him. You know, so. Well, so we're going to talk about Jonathan, and then we're going to talk about Mephibosheth. And see, you know, you say, well, who's Mephibosheth? I'll tell you that in a minute. First, let me read to you the story of Jonathan, the things that he did. 1 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 17. 1 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 17. Then I will flip quickly to chapter 20 and I'll read a couple of verses there. So let me start first. 1 Samuel chapter 19. You know. Now, so this was the story. It's starting from here, how, you know, I just picked this one, but Saul was just wanting to kill David. And even challenged his own daughter, said, why didn't you give it unto me, and so forth. Michal said something, and so forth. So David left. But look at all the things that kept from that time. I don't have time to go into all the stories, so I just picked one verse. From that time on, he was just wanting to kill David, and so many things happened. You know, on and on and on and on. Now, let's look at chapter 20. And some of you have read these stories, so it's not entirely new. But I'm going to read back chapter 20 from verse 9 to 15. And I will paraphrase the story. This was the story of, you know, David saying, look, I'm going to take my leave and so forth. If your father misses my presence, tell him I've gone to do sacrifice in Jerusalem or whatever, you know. And then let me know if evil is determined. So Jonathan made a covenant with David, and he also gave a sign to him. I'm going to call Eliab here. I'm going to shoot some arrows and so forth. If I say the arrow is beyond thee, David is hiding in the bush, that means you run, you know, and so forth. You know, if I don't say that, then that means it's well with you. Of course, you know, Jonathan saved the life of David many times, you know. Even Saul was so angry, he threw even a javelin at Jonathan himself. So Jonathan knew that, hey, this guy is hiding in for David. So he went ahead and gave a sign, and so on and so forth. And some of the things that he said, I want to read to you, if I can find. I don't want to read too many verses, so let me just find. Okay, I will start from verse 14. You know. He said, thou shalt not only while I yet live show me the kindness of the Lord. So Jonathan telling David. Jonathan knew that David was surely going to be king. So Jonathan is telling him, look, not only while I live, will you show kindness unto me, you know, and so forth, that I die not. But also, he's telling me that, look, even after I'm gone, you see, my house forever, you know, so that, you know, you keep on, you know, he wants the blessing. He wants David to say, look, you're going to show kindness to me, and you're going to show kindness to my house. And there's a principle there, just because of the thing that he did for David. You know, and he knows that the Lord's going to cut off all David's enemies and say, look, when the Lord has cut off your enemies, remember my house. You know, and so forth. And here David made that covenant before the Lord and they went on. Now, let's fast forward to 2 Samuel chapter 9. We're going to pick it up from verse 1 through about verse 13, but I won't read all of it. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 13, from verse 1. And David said, you know, this was after many things and many battles, back and forth and so on. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? So you see, the blessing that's coming. The thing that Jonathan paid forward, his seed is now about to receive the blessing. He wasn't paying it back. He was paying it ahead. Before anything even came, he did some good. God remembered it. God made David to remember it. And as the story went, they said, well, Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, verse 6, son of Saul, came and he bowed before David and so forth. Somebody told him, oh yeah, there is somebody left in their household, because many of them had been killed. And David gave a promise, and here's what he said. David said unto him, verse 7, fear not, I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. See? And that's it. There are many things in the life of David, you know, that type the Christ. Not everything, but many things. Show mercies of David, for instance. So, but I don't have time to go into that. Now, in this particular place, it said, I will restore to thee the land of Saul, thy father, and so forth, and you shall eat bread at my table. And somebody who was even lame on his feet, who didn't have anything going for him, I mean, who you know, lost all, you know, all his brethren were already killed and everything, just managed to escape, somebody helped him and all that, you know, and, you know, he had really nothing going for him. And all of a sudden, one day, from being just about a destitute or nothing and so forth, the next thing you know, he's sitting on the king's table. Hallelujah. And it's not because of anything he did at all. It was something that his father did way before him. And God put in David's mind to remember and say, yeah, I want to show mercy to the house of Saul for Jonathan's sake. And bring me somebody, you know, anybody that you can find. And the Lord fell on this guy, they found him, they brought him in, and he ate upon David's table. Verse 13. So Mephibosheth, dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, even though he was lame on both his feet. You know, so you see how the blessing went. And that's a tremendous story for something that somebody did. The good that Jonathan did in his time, helping somebody else to escape, saving his life and so on, you know, and all that. And look at how the Lord finally repaid. Not to Jonathan himself. Jonathan was not the one that got the blessing. He was actually killed in battle. But somebody else got the blessing because of what he did. Can somebody say amen? Now, so whether you're getting the blessing today or not, God will never forget it. And he will repay it. And he may repay it to your kids. You know, take it, you know, just look around. Take a load of your life. You know, if you're serving the Lord faithfully, you can see how God's hand is upon your children already. Hallelujah. You know, you're doing good things for the Lord, and God is delivering your children. When they travel, they're safe. You know, when they are somewhere where there's going to be evil, God removes them from there. It may not be what the child himself or herself is doing. It's because of what you are doing for the Lord. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, these are principles in the Bible, folks. It's already there in the Bible. So, you know, let's look at another story. There's a story of the Shunammite woman. And I preached on this subject. There's a whole message on the Shunammite woman on the website. You can go and look for it. But I just want to bring out a very small point here. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 to 11, this Shunammite woman, she was always doing good for this man that she perceived to be a prophet. You know, it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, and there was a great woman there constraining him to eat bread. And so it was, as often as he turned in there, that he ate bread. And one day she said to her husband, look, I perceive that this is a great man of God, and he's always coming by here to do something. You know, Why don't we just build him a little chamber, put a little bed there and a little table there so that he can do his stuff, you know? And so they did. And Elisha went there all the time, you know, because of the kindness of this woman. Well, you know, one day, Elisha said, you know the story, I don't have time to read, I'm just going to paraphrase it. One day, Elisha called his servant and said, look, this Shunammite woman, who is so kind to us, ask her, you know, what would, you know, what does she want? Does she want her to, should we speak to the king for her? The man said, no, I'm fine, I dwell in the midst of my people and so. Then the servant said, oh, she has no children. So Elisha said, you know, according to the word of the Lord, she will embrace a child. Amen. Well, of course, initially she said this and that. But she did embrace a child. But I tell you what, you know, when she embraced that child, the child grew up to be a little bit, you know, and so forth. According to the word of the Lord, she did have that child. The child died one day, and the child was brought back to life again. How many of you say praise the Lord? Now, all of this was because of some of the good. I don't really have time to go into. There's a big story I wanted to bring out of this, but I'm looking at the time. But there was a, you know, a lot of good that she did that was stored up for her. Amen. It's like in God's golden book of remembrance. He remembered it, you know, and had mercy upon her, you know, and because of all the good she did. And her son was raised to life. Hallelujah. Now, let me read you an interesting story here. There's a story of Mordecai in the Bible. Now, you may know the story of Esther. They've made movies about it. So it's in the Bible and all that. And I've preached upon it. One time I preached at, you know, table in the presence of your enemies. It's on the website, you know. But let's look at something today. Mordecai in the book of Esther, chapter 2, verses 21 to 23. You know, in those days was Mordecai, he sat at the king's gate. And two of the king's chamberlains, they plotted a coup to kill the king and so forth. And it was so that when they did this thing, Mordecai was the one that told it to Esther, and Esther told it to the queen, and the queen, you know, the king saved himself out of that trouble. And Mordecai did this thing a couple of times and saved the king like that. And nothing was done for Mordecai at all. You know, he did it the first time, nothing was done for him. But that didn't stop him. He did it the second time because it was his duty. He saw that somebody was plotting against the king, you know, and he revealed it and he saved the life's king. I mean, the king's life, sorry. And nothing was done about it. And he went on his way and so forth. But God did not forget him. Amen. Amen. Now, this is a very interesting story. I love this story, but I can preach on this thing for 3 hours. In the book of chapter 6 of Esther, when God will bring that book to remembrance, the book of the good deeds of Mordecai, when God will bring it to remembrance, look at Esther chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. It so happened that, you know, the angel of the Lord, the Lord looked at that book and he wanted to do something, you know, to say how to save Israel, you know, the Jews and so forth. So the angel of the Lord troubled this man. He could not sleep. I tell you, it was the angel of the Lord that troubled him, so he couldn't sleep. The Lord troubled him. He couldn't sleep. He started racking. He said, go bring me all the books. You know, why? In the middle of the night, you know, and he started to read all the books and so forth. And the Lord led him to where he would find the things that were recorded that Mordecai had done. And he said, oh, Mordecai did this. Has anything been done for Mordecai for all these good things? How he saved the king out of these problems a couple of times? And he said, no. And he said, wow, well, we're going to do something about it now. Amen. That's how God, you know, the things that you pay for, what? When you're doing this good, God is remembering it, folks. And someday, he's going to turn it around and do something about it. Amen. So the story went, you know, God put it in his heart. And, you know, the rest of the story. The guy who was wanting to kill them, a man came into the court. And the king asked him, hey, if the king wanted to promote somebody and do some good for somebody, what should the king do? And this man, thinking that who else would the king be talking about other than yours truly, he blasted his mouth and said all the wonderful things that the king should do. And the king said, is that a fact? He said, yes. He said, well, okay, now you go do that to Mordecai. Hallelujah, somebody. That's right. And out of his very mouth, the guy who wanted to kill them, he sucked up the table. That's right. That's why we call it table in the presence of your enemies. Your enemies will suck up your table. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, maybe I'm doing it. You don't have to do anything. You just keep doing the good that you are doing today. Amen. And God has a way that he's going to bring that. So you know the rest of the story. I don't have time to go into all that. But that is a thing that Jesus taught this principle to. Okay, some of you are wondering and saying, well, you know, why preaching this and not preaching the other? Whatever else you think I should be preaching today. You know. Now, Jesus taught this principle as well. You know, in fact, the book of Matthew chapter 25 devoted a very long text to this thing. And Jesus spent time teaching about this. So it is important. And Paul commanded that we should say it's a good thing. We should bring this thing constantly, affirm it constantly, so that the people who have believed in God should remember to maintain good works. Amen. Now let's look at it in the book of Matthew chapter 25. I'll start at verse 31. This is what Jesus himself taught. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. Let's start there. Now, when the Son of Man, this is some of the parables that Jesus was teaching, a long set of parables in that chapter. This is one of them. And he said, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Now, this is Jesus speaking. Now, well, what was he talking about here? Now, well, let's see exactly what he was talking about. And he said, let's read the next verse. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from the other as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Next verse. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left hand, and then he shall say to those on his right hand, listen to this, folks. I want you to look at the Bible so you don't think that I'm saying this by myself. This is what Jesus himself said. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why? See, did he say, oh, because you preach the gospel, or because you deliver the sick, because you cast out devils, because you do all of these things? Is that what he said in this verse? Folks, hello? Well, let's read it. Well, that's not what he said. That's not what he said here at all. You know, here's what he said. He said, look, for when I was hungry, you gave me meat. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was sick, you visited me. When I was naked, you clothed me. And so on and so forth. When I was in prison, you came to me. You know, and the people say, Lord, we never saw you naked. We never saw you in prison. You were not even here when we were here. We never saw you hungry and do all these wonderful things that you say. We never did any of these things. And Jesus said, yes, but you did too. Inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, hallelujah, somebody, you've done it unto me. Now, these people, I don't know who they are. You know, they're getting some reward here just for what they did. I don't know that this is entirely the salvation and the kind of thing that the elect will get. But these people, there's something that Jesus is bringing out here. For the good that they did, even while they were on earth, they may not have been rewarded. Maybe not even their children or their generations after them. But look at all that transferred unto them in the kingdom. Can somebody say amen? And then on the other side, which I don't want to focus on, but on the other side, he did tell the other ones that, look, you had opportunity to do it, and you did not do it. And the other people said also, now, Lord, if we would have seen you naked, of course, we would have clothed you. If we would have seen you begging for bread, we would have given you food. See the Lord naked, and you won't do something about it? And you'll say, yeah, you saw me many times like that, and you did nothing. That's right. Folks, think about that. The homeless person, the beggarly person, the person that you have opportunity to help, when you turn away from them, Jesus said, look, you had opportunity, you know, to have done this, and you didn't do it. And then, of course, they went into shame and everlasting punishment. Now, that's a serious lesson, folks. Let's not worry too much about those who didn't do it. Let's worry about what we are going to do about it. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, remember also, you know, that in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, just in case some people are saying, well, you know, we don't care about that. All I want to do is cast out devils. You know, that's wonderful too. But, you know, Jesus said that, look, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. For many shall come unto me in that day. Next verse. See, they will come unto me in that day and say, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? Did we not cast out devils? Did we not do many great works? Did we not do all these wonderful things? But Jesus didn't argue that they didn't do it. But he said, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. So, we've got to preach the whole counsel of God. We cannot take one part and leave one part. You can't say, well, you know, good works are not important. It is important, folks. And there's a lot of people that are going to get blessed. Your children will get blessed from the things that you are doing today. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, so you keep doing the good that you are doing. You know, Jesus said, look, I'm bringing my reward with me to give to every man according to how their work shall be. It is your work that is rewarded, folks. You are not rewarded for being a son. A son is something you inherit. You are born into the kingdom of God. But you are rewarded for the works that you do. And there's a lot of people that don't do anything. They won't get anything either. You know, so all these good works that you have opportunity to do, don't be discouraged just because you're not seeing immediate blessing. You keep on doing it. Praise the Lord. In the early chapters of the book of Luke, I don't have time to read it, there was a woman there and another man too. Some of them were there. They went to prayer meeting all the time. The Bible says they served God in night, you know, fasting and praying all the time. And they didn't depart from the kingdom. I mean, from the temple. You know. And one day, hallelujah, they saw the Christ. You know, because of their consistency. You know, some people come to night vigil. We have some people who are always in night vigil, prayer meeting, the prayer line, this and that. They're always there. You may be feeling discouraged sometimes. Today, I say, hold on, don't be discouraged. Amen. Because God is going to remember all those good works that you are doing. That's right. It may be your children that may benefit from it. It may be your grandchildren that may even benefit from it. It may not always be you that will benefit from it. But somebody is going to reap the reward. Amen. And if somebody doesn't get the reward here, somebody is going to get the reward over there as well. Hallelujah. So, don't be discouraged. Now, today, if you have opportunity to do some good, do it. And the Bible says, look, do good to all men. I've already read the scriptures. Especially, Galatians 6 and 10. Those who are of the household of faith. You know, so first of all, you do good to all men. But then especially those who are on the household of faith. But when we say do good to all men, we're not talking about just your immediate family. I mean, some people are very good at doing things for their immediate family. That's wonderful. But what about others? Do good unto all men, folks. Amen. Amen. Especially those who are of the household of faith. Now, I've told you what I was going to tell you. Now, let me tell you what I told you. What I told you was that if you do not faint and you keep doing good things, rewards are coming your way. Praise the Lord. It will come your way either to you in your lifetime or to your children. These things are principles in the Word of God and they cannot be broken. It's already there. You know, there are some things that are there. It doesn't matter whether you believe or you don't believe. It's there. You know, so these things are there. Now, but more so, we are commanded for those who have believed in God. Now, let's go back to that. I'm going to close to this. I'm going to remind us of it. Let's go back to Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. This is where we started, and we're going to close there. You know, it is a faithful saying. Can you please read with me? Everybody, this is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Now, these things are what? They are good and profitable unto men. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So, that is where we are going to close the message today. And I want a time of reflection. I want to take a couple of minutes for you to reflect and see, you know, there might have been missed opportunities. You know, but there is still time for you to make a difference. Amen. Make a difference in somebody's life. You know, make a difference. You know, when you have a chance. The Bible said, we read it also. He said, look, cast your bread in the water, you know, upon the waters. In many days, it will come back to you. The good that you are doing today, it may be many days where you get the reward. And it may be many generations. But keep on doing it. Don't give up. Hallelujah. Don't be weary. Because if you are not weary, in due season, you will reap the reward. Let's stand to our feet. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you believe that that message is true and inspired by the word of God, let's give the Lord a hand clap here this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We want to preach to the whole person. We want to preach faith. We want to preach healing. We want to preach deliverance. We want to preach gifts of the Spirit. We want to preach readiness for the kingdom of God. But we want to preach these things. Because the Bible says we should affirm them constantly. All of you who are believers in the house today, as much as there's opportunity, look for the good that you can do. And whatever good you can do, don't be discouraged. Never think that, oh, it's going unnoticed. There is nothing that goes unnoticed from the Lord. Now, I didn't have time to go into all the things I had here today, but I had to cut it short because of the time. But I believe you got the point. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to raise your hands, and we're going to pray. Hallelujah. I want you to take a moment of reflection and pray for yourself. You know, many of you, including myself, we've had opportunity to have done some good, which we refrained our hand, because we didn't understand these things that we talked about today. You know, or because you get discouraged, you do some good, nothing comes out of it. So let's take a moment and pray. And say, Lord, help me. I don't want to get weary of well-doing. I want to do the right thing. As much as I have opportunity, Lord, as much as you show me your will, help me to do it in the name of Jesus. For all men and unto all the household of faith, help me to do what I can in the name of the Lord Jesus. And now the Lord is faithful, see, and he will always forgive our unrighteousness. And some of us have been told certain things by the Lord which we didn't do, you know, and you never know why not. You know, I mean, what you might miss, like Abraham, if he didn't do that thing, look at the blessing that could have missed. Because of what he did, the Lord said, I'm going to put a blessing upon all the nations of the world just because of what you did. You know, so you don't know the little deed that you are doing, what blessing you might bring to somebody else. Father, teach us. Remember, folks, a little seed, a mustard seed, can grow to become wonderful, a great tree that even all the birds of the air will come out. You know, lodge on it and so forth. Father, Lord, teach us thy word. Expand it and explain it in our hearts. And let us go forth like Jesus. The Bible says he went out doing good. Help us, Lord, everywhere we go to be doing good. In the name of Jesus. We give you, Lord, all the praise and glory. I know, Lord, that these things are being recorded in your books. There's coming a day that the book of life will be opened, and also the other books will be opened that are being recorded for all the works, and the people are judged out of those books for their rewards. Father, Lord, teach us, O Lord, to do these things to the kingdom, to the glory of your name, and for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And everybody says, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.